Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
This episode of The Gays Are Revolting is brought to you by Gale.
Gale is a gay ale made with a nod to our community's sense of pride and self-expression. At a time when our community needs it most, and the great thing about Gale is that they donate a percentage of profits back to the community.
Visit galebev.com.au and use code GAYSREVOLTING at checkout for 10% off.
That's galebev.com.au and use the code GAYSREVOLTING at the checkout.
The Gays Are Revolting is supported by supersimplecards.com.
Bring back the joy of card giving.
Order a pack of greeting cards from supersimplecards.com with 10% off your entire order when you use the code GAYSREVOLTING at checkout.
And remember, cards are a nice addition to your shit gift.
Welcome to The Gays Are Revolting, a weekly news source for contemporary gays.
We put the G in LGBTQIA+, and we're here to help you be the best G you can be.
You can subscribe to The Gays Are Revolting on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Give us social media love by following @GaysRevolting on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And join the Gays Are Revolting Facebook group to keep up with all the tea.
And your hosts for today are the wonderful Mikey, who has the strongest nail game I've ever seen.
Oh.
Also, welcome back to Melbourne and society.
Thank you.
We have Luke, my favorite personal space invader.
So true.
Yes.
And Thomas, my favorite old lady.
Oh.
Wait, no. I was going to say it. The sassiest old lady I've
Thank
ever
you.
Met. And me, the best gamer cat dad that you're going to grow to love. Hi, how are we all been?
It's good,
been
darling. How are you?
Good.
Exciting
I've
week.
Seen Luke since last weekend when we were like 5 tequila shots deep.
Just a quick update on my tonsillitis situation.
No, that'll just clear it right up. Five tequila shots, you're good.
Recurring theme is that Kyle and I decided to go out. I thought the best idea for my personal health and safety would be to undress down to nothing at 5 a.m. in the morning and then walk home in the middle of the night.
Beautiful.
Which Kyle luckily missed that part of the night. The rest of it was great.
Yeah, it was not there for
you're
that.
You're very lucky, I think
I'm okay with that.
We were at Pop Chops, which
Pop
is...
Pop Chops, it was so much fun. The music was so good.
It's local Melbourne night. It's also another podcast. Mm. It's also another community.
On the north side.
Facebook group.
I don't venture there, I'll be.
You're learning
Everyone
so much.
Looked new.
You're learning so much,
I
aren't
am.
You? You're like Fräulein Maria when she went to visit the Von Trapps. It's very exciting.
I know
that
these
just
references.
Totally over your head, yeah. didn't it?
My eyes aren't glazed over. They're just taking a break.
Oh, you've had a busy week then, Luke, because you also have just, you've temporarily moved house, haven't you?
So I'm house sitting, and it's a very big change for me because I'm currently staying in the Melbourne CBD in a high-rise apartment, which is not my environment. Anyone that looks at me knows that's not my environment.
No.
That's not a trash
it
can.
It ties into some of the things we were talking about because the podcast is great because it makes me more aware of what's important to me. The other day, I had this weird experience where I was trying to get back into the building, and this elderly woman was clearly walking straight towards me. We were going towards the door.
Was it Tom?
And it was not Tom in drag this time. And she paused at the door, and instead of like unlocking it and letting me in, she just waited and stood there right in front of me. So I could get my key out.
My little plain chicken.
Because you don't look like someone that would live in that building.
Because I don't look like someone that would live in a service department building in the middle of the Melbourne CBD. But then this morning, I actually got the lift down and I finally saw another brown brother. And I was so happy because I thought, I'm not the only one in this building. I've been there a week felt so ostracized. And so I greeted him and I was like, good morning. I got my coffee, big day, big smiles. And he said, yep, good morning. Yep, big day. Turned around, grabbed the mop. And I realized... You're the janitor, and now I understand why I feel the way I do.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
But I love it.
Did the ladies in the foyer keep giving you their coat when they were leaving?
I've worked harder this week house-sitting than I have in my life.
I love it.
I've mopped floors, I've collected baggage. But it's been great. You guys have to come around. See the space.
We've got
a balcony in the city.
I'll probably be allowed on the rooftop. It'll be great.
Oh, my gosh.
As long as I'm with Tom, I think I'm going to get perfect service.
Yeah, totally.
Welcome to the Gays Revolt.
Welcome. So there's one thing that, like, there's no way that anyone in the queer community has been able to miss. Nanette.
Not just the queer community, like the entire world.
There are
like politicians in fucking Somalia that are tweeting about this. Like everyone is talking about Nanette.
Absolutely exploded.
Yeah.
So Hannah Gadsby, amazing comedian, love her, has brought out her Netflix special, which she was just like, nope, like I'm done after this show.
Yeah.
There's nothing else coming after this. I'm quitting comedy.
Is she legit quitting though? Like, or is that just like a part of the show?
In the beginning, she was like, no, I'm doing this final show and I'm done.
Yeah.
But since it has exploded over the entire world, she's rethinking it.
Yeah, it's kind of the golden ticket. I watched it as well the other week. And I got that feeling of, I'm not comparing the two because they're very different content.
Yeah.
But you know when you watch like Friday the 13th part 7.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like Jason's final chapter.
Yeah.
And you're like, there's going to be another one next year. Yeah. I'm not buying this.
Yeah.
To get, I think the Netflix special is kind of the golden ticket of the comedy world, right?
Yeah, I think she's the first Australian comic to get a Netflix special. Yeah, there's a few on Stan. And they've now just announced that Nazeem Hussain and Joel Creasy are both getting Netflix specials as well.
Yeah,
but she was the first Australian.
Yeah, it's something like 30 plus other Australian comedians are getting a Netflix special within the next
year. Oh, they're all within that thing, right? Yeah.
Really?
So I have to be totally honest. I unfortunately have not seen this show. I was performing in the same festival. I don't want to brag, whatever.
Clutch the pearls.
But I was performing in the same festival at the same time as Hannah when she was doing Nanette, and then I was away when she did her return season. And I have this thing about I hate watching anything live recorded on they do those plays, screenings and stuff. I can't watch that. So I'm just quietly hoping that she does another Melbourne season so I can go and see it.
Well, my family has a long-standing tradition of despising other people's success.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just something that's been handed down generation by generation.
Sounds healthy.
Yeah, it's really healthy. It's done me very well, as you can all tell.
That's why you're like this.
Yeah, in terms of my personal development. So I had a lot of reservations about watching Nanette, especially something that includes an LGBT member of the community getting such sort of mainstream attention and critical acclaim. The Forrester Jeans kicked in and said, you hate this. You haven't seen it, but you hate this. Because this is a person doing well.
Doing well, yeah.
But I buckled down and I watched it. And it is, it's hard for me to say this. It's pretty good.
It's
good job.
I didn't know that Hannah was from a similar area from where my family are from.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Literally two towns over from where I was born and my entire family live. And so when she delved into growing up in Tasmania, like I didn't personally grow up there, thankfully. Like I grew up in Melbourne, but
was that shade?
I mean, but like I completely resonated with her and how she felt the community is there because it was illegal to be a homosexual up until 1997 in Tasmania.
I can't believe, like, so late in history.
Ridiculous.
Is that news to you, Kyle?
That was complete news to me. I was like, holy crap, I didn't realize it was so recent. That it was crazy laws.
It scares me
like
that people don't know that. I feel like that's something that, that
was
that
a
should
big
be known,
shock
you know?
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Tasmania were the last state in Australia to decriminalize homosexuality,
that's so
which
nuts.
Is insane to me. But, like, going back, I pretty much go back twice a year to visit family there because it's so close, it's easy. But it really put it into perspective of how it would have been growing up. Because I had a hard enough time growing up down in Frankston. Like, I can't imagine what it would have been like living in the Bible Belt of Tasmania.
I think, if anything, the more focus it puts on the problematic aspects of Tasmania, not just stacks on Tasmania, because I've been there and it's great.
Yeah.
And we all love Dark Mofo, you know, like, oh, that's wonderful.
But Tasmania has transformed incredibly and turning into an amazing art scene. And do you know what? I'll be honest, the same thing with Adelaide. Like, I've been doing the Gay Pride Festival in Adelaide for 7 or so years. And when I first started doing it 7 years ago, it was scary as hell. But these smaller cities in Australia are becoming really cool and artsy. The Darwin Arts Festival is incredible. And I think that's because cities like Sydney and Melbourne are becoming so expensive. A lot of the artistic people are moving to these other cities and turning them into these like oases of drama and music and art and literature and stuff, which is really exciting.
In the last couple of years, going back to Tasmania, I've met more and more gay people that have come out since. And to hear their stories about what it was like growing up there, like, it really hit home when I heard Hannah talking about it. And I was just like, holy shit, like, this is a real
thing. Are there a lot of gay community there? Does everybody just leave Tasmania because it's too hard there and they just come to Melbourne because it's like the closest?
Well, yeah, like, a lot of the gays do leave because like there isn't a massive support.
Oh, I mean, I think that the larger city, like Hobart, has got a good scene. The amazing Brody Lucas, who is a wonderful fan of our podcast and one of the best stand up comedians that I'm sure you're all aware of, who lives there still and is doing stand up there and comes and does like tours here, but he's like based there. I think he's the only gay male based Tasmanian based comedian that I'm aware of. But he's bloody brilliant and runs a whole lot of nights and stuff over there, which are fantastic.
Yeah, amazing.
So as someone who hasn't, as one of the very few people in the world that hasn't seen Nanette, like obviously I've seen a million posts and everything, but why is it groundbreaking? Why is this piece, Hour of Stand-Up, changed the format of stand-up?
Do you know what I actually think? I don't think it changes the format of stand-up, but listening back to our first episode, or the parts of it that I did listen to because I had to skip over whenever Tom talked, I actually spoke a bit about the drag babies thing and how queer action and queer culture is really about subversion, about getting in one way, opening the door and making it something else and forcing mainstream culture to swallow it, even if it's a hard pill. And despite my passive-aggressive hate of other people being successful, I watched Nanette and I saw that is queer action. She just did it. A lot of people were tuning in because this is under stand-up comedy. And it's right next to, you know, Norm, whatever his name is, and Chris Rock. And and you're like, I'm going to put this in and zone out for 50 minutes. And that's not what it is.
No.
Yeah, it starts so as that.
It does, doesn't it? It captures you.
It captures
you. She lures the audience in and, like, makes them comfortable. She lures them in with jokes, makes them laugh, and then she hits them with truth and silences them. And it's so powerful.
And is that not what queer culture has been doing for the last 20 years? Absolutely, it's like getting you in and luring you in with something and say, here's the truth of the situation, is that we are some of the most hard done by people in the community. And some really awful things have happened to us. And we entertain the shit out of you too.
Yeah.
Because we're funny and we're creative and we know how to tell a good story.
Damn
and that's what I took away from it.
I think it's going to be hard for Hannah if she is going to do another, if she does do another stand-up show next year. I mean, she can't just do like, oh, here's an hour of easy listening. Yeah. Comedy.
Absolutely. Like, real light-hearted stuff.
But she did do a lot of stuff prior to this, obviously stand-up stuff, but also was doing those amazing tours of the National Gallery. She did comedy art tours and things like that. So I hope that if she's not going to be doing like your stock standard hour of comedy festival comedy, she's still going to be doing some sort of performing, like the comedy art tours or something, because I think it would be a huge loss if she never stepped on stage again.
Yeah, totally. I did end up watching it about 4 or 5 times. I guess being a gay person, being comfortable enough to speak about it openly with everybody, it took me a long time to get to that point. And I think Hannah really touches on that. She's just like, no, this is what has happened to me. And I'm not afraid to talk about it anymore because people need to hear it, because this will not only help me work through what I've been through, but what everyone else has experienced a similar thing. Yeah. Like, not only being a queer person, but facing sexual abuse in many different ways. And it wasn't until, I guess, being older that I realized that I'd been through situations that I didn't think were a bad thing, and really rethinking them and being like, hang on a second, I've faced these things as well. And knowing a lot of my female friends, not only straight, but also who identify as queer, as lesbian, have also faced these things.
The other great thing about the show is she makes a gag pretty early on that there's more facts out there about unicorns than there are about lesbians.
Right.
And I think it's true. I live in Thornbury, one of the biggest lesbian communities in Melbourne, and they have their own world and their own culture. Yeah. And you don't see it represented outside of pornography for heterosexual men very often.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think it was great that this special was out and it is a lesbian speaking about the lesbian experience, which obviously none of us really have very much.
Not too much.
No.
To chip in on. But I think that's really important too, is that that's another minority that we're maybe not as aware of.
Yeah, I mean, I think the four people sitting at this table are fairly aware of our community. I think we engage a lot with other members of our community and stuff.
I thought you were going to say fairly qualified to talk on behalf of.
Oh, no, my gosh. Definitely not on behalf of.
No.
But yeah, it is important that that's been pushed out to the mainstream, and how amazing, that's one of the highest rating things on Netflix.
Yeah, it like always incredible. Pops up on the main page when you go on there.
Fantastic.
It's super powerful.
Can I ask a quick personal question though? Yeah. Because something that stuck out to me was her sort of critique about self-deprecating humor and its place within the queer community or the LGBT community. And humor, and especially self-deprecating humor, is one of my like fortes. I love it, and it brings me so much joy, and it's the only reason I can put up with being in a room with Tom for a few hours once a week. It's actually something that's given me a lot of strength as a minority. And I could fully understand the logic in what Hannah was saying in this show, is that self-deprecation is a way of humiliating queer people for the entertainment of others rather than when a...
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, am I wrong that I feel good, or it puts me in a position where I feel comfortable?
Yeah, look, I'll be honest with you. So I was doing a show when Hannah was doing her first season of this, but I think probably subconsciously the other reason I haven't watched this is because I know that that's one of the topics, and I've been doing comedy for quite a while, and I really enjoy self-deprecating humor for myself. I love watching lots of different kinds of comedy. I don't expect other people to be doing self-deprecating humor, but I'm scared that I'll watch it and not want to do self-deprecating humor anymore because I love...
Love it.
Doing it. I absolutely love doing it. It's how I got through high school. Thank you. There's a lot to make fun of. It's how I got through high school. It's a way of like being naughty and nasty, but not hurting anyone else. And perhaps because of high school, if I say something about myself, it means no one else can say. Or if someone else says something, it can't be worse than what I've already said. I've already hurt myself, so whatever you say can't hurt me.
Yeah.
And I quite enjoy having that. And I will watch this, but I am scared shitless that I'm going to change my mind about that.
That's the thing. I think there's two points. It's one, it's like if I say it first and funnier and wittier than you ever will, it can't hurt me.
Yeah.
And two, also, if I think Bianca Del Rio said it, is if you make fun of yourself first, it gives you free range to rip everyone else to shit.
Yeah, it's and, very Joan Rivers.
Yeah, kind of thing, and I've relied on that my entire professional career.
Yeah, and you work in mental health, so that's really that's really good to know. All right, now we're going to talk about RuPaul's Drag Race, and I know that I've critiqued it, but I obviously also love it. I just hate what it's doing to our community, but it's also a very good show, and I watch it a lot, so let's talk about it.
And that's okay.
Now, it's been a while since season 10 finished, and obviously there was that incredible, should we say, lip-sync battle with Asia O'Hara and the butterfly.
I guess incredible is a word for it.
It was remarkable. Is that a nice remarkable way of saying it? And you know what? Imagine if that had been pulled off. Like, that would have been a beautiful... Right.
I mean, she wanted to be a butterfly queen, but she kind of choked on a mothball.
It would have been like the GIF of 2018. Oh, beautiful butterflies flying out. Unfortunately, they died.
Yeah.
And it didn't go very well. It was a shitstorm, basically.
Yeah.
So we all saw that happen. I don't know if you guys saw the apology, though, that she's formally issued since.
I didn't. Posted it, but I didn't actually read it.
Yes.
Sorry, girl.
So, I mean, it reads like something from NASA. This is amazing.
Wow.
Despite months of research and rehearsing with a professional company, what I'd hoped would be an amazing and safe display of optimism and a surprise for everyone, including the production and the network, it did not go as planned. Now, she goes on, she says, I'd like to publicly offer the entire world. I'm sorry, darling, not the entire world we're offering, but yes, go ahead. The entire world, my deepest apology. It's important that everyone knows I would never purposely hurt any living being and have the utmost respect for all animals. She goes on and on and on and explains how they have to be in temperature-controlled climates, and she rehearsed it at home, but it was colder in the studio, and she had them in the hiding spot for too long and all sorts of shit. But what I loved is at the end, it says, in addition to her apology, O'Hara promises to donate over 100 volunteer hours to the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals.
Wow.
I think this is going over the top.
I'm sorry.
And anyone, I've seen everyone ripping on her.
There have been some great memes on the internet about this.
There have been amazing memes, but if you have a can of fly spray under your sink in your kitchen, you have done worse than she did in that number. These are insects. Yeah. There was like 10 of them.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah, it was just a shit show.
Yeah.
I'm really disappointed that the only remaining queen of color in the season finale got goofed up on a shtick that only exists because of some random lip sync battle decision that had to happen.
So they're trying to one up from like last year with the rose petals and the wig kind of thing. So now everyone's trying to come with the tricks and like do things.
But you know what though? I'm sorry, girl. But when it comes to reveals, like you do not do a butterfly reveal in the finale. Like just play it safe.
I think her mistake was choice of insect. I think she should have unleashed a swarm of bees on camera and like eliminated him that way.
Yeah.
And then she'd be like, oh, honey.
Yeah. Or like big old moths and they can all go hang out with RuPaul and get along together.
But also the costume just wasn't very well constructed.
No.
Like she took those breasts off, which obviously meant to
it was so awkward.
Have the butterflies, but it looked like some weird mummy had just had a mastectomy.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Because there was just the webbing hanging off where the chest was.
Yeah, you're right. I think I'm more annoyed by the fact that her apology focuses on the cruelty to animals, where she really just should be the cruelty to the audience.
Yeah.
Is probably what she should have.
Yeah.
It just was a shit number.
It was just a shit number.
But I don't, anyway, everyone that's like, oh, that's so mean, killing that. Fuck off, it's butterflies. Like, they're just pretty looking flies.
Yeah.
Just littering the floor with dead butterflies.
It's not that
big like the part
it's
when like
fine.
Cameron like flips his hair, like,
oh my
like
God,
sweeps a dead butterfly into the air. I was like, oh my God.
I think my favorite part from that entire lip sync is when the camera pans over to Monique Hart and Miss Van.
Their faces.
Oh, yeah. Just shook. Like... Just like... Like, I feel like when she took the first bracelet and opened it, you should have just bailed on that and just, like, lip-synced the whole time. Yeah. Like, no, this isn't happening. Like,
this is the other thing, too, is, like, the queer scene is so full of Nancy Drews who know exactly what's going to happen before it happens. They know the drama. For heterosexual viewers or non-Nancy Drew gays, wherever you are, I think that performance was just confusing.
Yeah.
I watched it with my two heterosexual friends and they didn't even know butterflies were meant to be there.
Like,
yeah.
It was very just strange.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah, let's get rid of this sticky like reveal culture.
I think it's going to just keep getting worse.
Just do the number, like, know your words.
Like, I mean, if you got something real special to reveal, great. But like, let's not make a whole lip sync out of it. Like,
exactly. But I am glad that Aquaria won.
Deservedly so.
Other than Asia, I'd say she was the only person on that season that I could
tolerate
winning. She was very polished winning.
Yeah. Like in all the challenges. She didn't get in the bottom at all.
No.
The whole competition, so that's...
And no one's done that since Bianca Del Rio, have they?
Oh.
I think. Is that correct?
Yeah.
From the moment that that lip sync started, I was like, you won, like instantly. Oh. Like
I watched it with my straight friends and we got to the start of the three-way lip sync also very suspicious.
So chaotic.
Oh, God.
Very
so
chaotic. Suspicious that there is a three-way lip sync on a song that has three vocalists.
Mm. Yeah.
Not totally buying that, Rue. But within the first 5 seconds, Aquaria pulls out a sparkler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which isn't that special, but the delivery of it. I actually paused it with my heterosexual friends and I went, okay, so just a gay lesson, guys. That's how you win a lip sync. Yes. School. The episode hadn't even finished
yet. Your friends must love hanging out with you.
They do.
They're like, can you stop pausing the fucking show, please?
I stop it all the time. Even the Uber drivers, because I'm a creature of routine, and I go to the same places at the same time every week to do the same things.
Yeah.
My Uber drivers pick me up from my house to take me to JB's to watch Drag Race.
Yeah.
And they're like, are you going for dinner to watch that show again? It's happened four times.
You get regular Uber drivers.
Yes, wow. 4 times it has happened.
I wanted Miss Cracker to win. I thought it was too soon that she left. That was like the Valentina of this season, I think.
She just didn't pull it out soon enough. Yeah. That was the problem because they could all see the potential within her.
Yeah, they liked her.
They loved her, but it was just like she was her own worst saboteur at the end of the day. Yeah. Like,
I think the whole season was pretty much pre-planned from episode 1 to episode 10. I agree with Tom in a lot of ways that I'm not super happy about the representation of our community as it moved forward.
But also what it's doing to the live local scene. That's my big beef. Sorry, I don't hate RuPaul's as a show. I know I rag on it a lot. It's a great show to watch. But we've now got young people that will pay hundreds of dollars to go see some American drag queen that comes here and does some clapped out odd routine.
Yeah.
And yet there's amazing local artists performing stuff that they won't go and see. And it's free.
Yeah. You know?
The best message I think anyone could include in Drag Race, I would love for Ru to say, because the queens themselves say this on Twitter, if you follow them and things like that, is like, if you love Drag Race, and if you love
Go see Thomas Jasper's in Granny Bingo.
Go see Tom. Is support your local queen.
They all say that same thing.
They say
it's funny how they all know Tom.
Yeah.
if you love Drag Race and nothing else, you don't love drag.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm in a new relationship.
Yes, Kyle, we're very aware.
And I, for one, didn't get nearly as many cards with warm wishes as I expected.
Well, you didn't really.
It was really special time for me starting my new relationship, and I just feel like it would have been nice to get a card or two.
Yeah, but darling, people don't really give
Nice congratulations on finding someone or enjoy the honeymoon phase. You know, some nice words in a card that I could hold on to.
Well, if it means that much.
Because being in a new relationship is great. I'm really happy, guys, and I'd love for you to express your well wishes for me during this exciting time.
Sure. Kyle, we'll whack a few heartwarming sentiments on a piece of cardboard for you.
Thanks. Grab a pack of greeting cards from supersimplecards.com. Beautiful, artisan, and environmentally friendly. Supersimplecards.com allows you to purchase cards in bulk. Ready to congratulate me on my new relationship.
Bring back the ease of card giving for meaningless occasions by ordering a pack of greeting cards from supersimplecards.com with free shipping and 10% off your entire order when you use the code GAYSREVOLTING at the checkout.
You guys will understand when you get relationships of your own.
Fuck off.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm not sure if I've shared this story with everyone and wanted to talk about some of our more unfortunate sexual encounters.
Which you've had plenty of, I'm sure.
I feel like you guys...
I feel like it's more unfortunate for the other person, but yeah.
It's still unfortunate. I want to tell a story because I was kind of surprised that not many people know this term. Not many people know that this happens, but according to my doctor, it happens a lot.
The show is educational.
Yeah, yes. And I'm all about education. I think last year at some point, I had a guy over and it was a Sunday morning after a big night.
After church.
After a very big night out. And I'd woken up super hungover and I'd said, look, you know what? I don't really know you, babe, but I'm the type of person that's going to order us McDonald's Uber Eats because I'm not sure what your level of respect for me was before I got blind wasted in front of you.
But I want to show you my McMuffin.
Yeah, but I want to make sure it's at rock bottom right now.
I want you to lick my hash brown.
Wow.
So I ordered this guy and myself just a banquet of delicious McDonald's breakfast.
Yeah.
And then he started cracking on to me and wanted the Sunday morning moves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
McDonald's will do that to people.
Mm. Like, I know.
You've got to buy someone some McDonald's.
He wanted to have a suck on your chocolate thick shake. Can you want me to stop?
How many of these has Tom got?
I don't know. Your Big Mac?
Your
fillet of fish? Anything McDonald's is actually, it's honey. Right. That's
so I told this guy, I said, look, I see what you're doing, but I also see my Uber status and this McDonald's is about 10 minutes away.
Yeah.
So I had done something before I had my McMuffin because I'm a right Catholic boy and I have my priorities in order.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Obviously.
But that didn't stop him.
It's basically Angela's ashes.
Things started up again and I was like, all right, you know what? You can do this. You can get this done in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You can have sex with someone before your Uber Eats arrives and then you can reward yourself with a McMuffin. In that situation, I did not have time for lube. I was like, you just got to get in there, get the job done and get out. Sorry, this story is graphic, by the way. No, I didn't say that at the start, did I?
Fasten your seatbelts, listeners.
So within about 10 seconds of that happening, I realized something didn't feel quite right. It was kind of like the feeling when you bite ice cream.
Just to confirm, whose apple pie was going into whose McMuffin?
So I was topping at this occasion.
That's a better way of saying it, sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Way to just like out and say it.
That's a rarity for you, isn't it?
It's too late in the evening for me to be making metaphors. I was topping. It felt like something was a bit off and I said, I'm really sorry. This isn't Uber related because I'd stopped a few times Uber status. Yeah, but something doesn't feel right. I, for lack of a better term, pulled out and shot a stream of blood.
No.
Oh my God. My penis.
Oh, stop.
To this man's face.
Oh.
What? The bed frame.
No.
The sheets everywhere.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Also, I might mention, I'm pretty much legally blind. So even though I felt weird, I couldn't quite see what was happening.
Can you see colors? Yeah.
So I just started screaming and I was screaming, I can't see, is it you or is it me? Is it you or is it me? And then
it's like a song.
Yeah, it was really sweet. I set the
by Jewel.
That song is about this exact situation.
I mean,
but then my penis twitched slightly, and another spurt shot out towards the side of the room, and I realized it was me. I'd snapped my perineum, and what is most commonly known as snapped my banjo string inside of someone.
Yeah.
Which is the piece of skin that connects the foreskin to the head of the penis. If you're uncircumcised.
Oh,
my God. So at that stage, my Uber Eats did arrive.
Great timing.
My housemate had to go get it while I ran to the bathroom.
Was he like covered in blood when he answered the door? It's like, everything's fine. No need to call the police.
Your housemate. And he was yelling out to me saying, Luke, your McDonald's is here. I was naked with a bath towel around my penis soaked with blood, screaming, I'll be down in a minute. While someone else was laying in bed, probably in shock.
Your blood fountained on him.
Goodness. I had just
Sounds like Prometheus.
on this man. But yeah, I went to the GP because the bleeding didn't stop. I also actually texted a photo to my best friend who's straight.
Oh my goodness.
And said, you'd never believe what I just did. And he thought I'd murdered someone because it was close. Just a little...
There was enough blood.
And so I went to the GP and I told him what had happened. And I said, I done did something bad to my dick.
In those exact words?
He's like, say that 10 times faster.
Those exact words. And he looked at it and he said, this happens all the time. You've broken the foreskin. It basically will heal itself. It won't reconnect. You can get surgery. Oh. Happens all the time. Just a piece of advice. Please refrain from any sort of sexual activity for the next fortnight because you don't want to reopen this wound. It's healing. This was Christmas time. And so I obviously...
This is really painting.
I didn't read my audience very well at that point. And I said, Doc, it's all good. I'm heading home for Christmas, so I'm just going to be with my dad. And he hasn't been interested in fucking me since I hit puberty.
Oh, you are grotty.
Oh, that is... So
was he just like, get out?
Did the guy... I need to know, did the guy stay for the McDonald's?
Did you eat the McDonald's? What did McDonald's consume?
Brilliant. Yes. Okay. So I had a pillow.
A man after my own heart.
Yes. I had to rest with my penis in a towel... My hips up on a pillow because we thought maybe that would stop goodness. The blood flow. Yeah. Well, he had the McDonald's and I
was he like quivering?
I tell you what would stop blood flowing to your penis, hanging upside down eating McDonald's while the guy that you just fucked watches you. That's going to stop any blood going anywhere near your penis.
That's textbook.
And I still had like 2 cigarettes while I was bleeding out.
Oh, stop it.
Sorry if that makes me sound
It's
really
not that
gross.
Uncommon. One mistake you made in your story is it's just for our listeners at home that might be concerned about the situation. Happening in the future is not limited to people that are uncircumcised.
Oh, really?
Circumcised people can
still. Oh, okay.
I know I a circumcised know guy that had that happen. Yeah.
Oh yeah, my God. Really? Yeah.
Are you covered in blood?
No, I wasn't there for that one. I've not witnessed it.
I mean, there was one time that, like, with an ex, we were just getting down and he was giving me a head job. And then all of a sudden, I just remember this severe pain. And I was just like, oh, what is that? Oh, yeah. And he's just pulled his head up and there was blood dripping out of his mouth. And I was just like, oh my God, like, did you bite your tongue? And I was just like, hang on a second. You're like, no, wait. I'm in pain.
Yeah.
Connect
and
the nuts.
Look down and yeah.
You were singing this song. Is it you
and
or
you
is it me?
You don't have a penis anymore? God. Is that where this is going?
Well, no, like he had just like cut. Like, my banjo strap, it was gone. I had no idea. And I was just like, oh, my God.
Now, how bad did both of you get it cut? Because sometimes it's so bad that it doesn't they don't reconnect it.
Mine reconnected.
Naturally?
Like, naturally.
Stitches. Yours?
It's not
absolutely not.
Naturally.
So, it's like, you don't have a foreskin, you have a 5-skin.
My penis is like the elephant man right now. There's like spits sticking out.
If I wasn't unattracted to you already.
We've all seen the photos.
So they didn't do stitches or anything like that? Because you can't get stitches.
Yeah, so they told me that they could do aesthetic surgery.
What's the point? I mean, when your face looks like that,
surprising, go for it.
No one's expecting anything too amazing.
Well, the doctor that had told me this was clearly a straight man because what he'd said to me is like, aesthetically, you can actually get that fixed, but it doesn't really matter that much because from the angle you're viewing it, you won't actually be able to tell the difference.
Be worried about your audience. You care.
Yeah. And I stopped and I said, I'm not sure if you got the joke before about my dad having sex with me, but I'm a homosexual man.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Or the bit about me having unprotected anal sex. I'm a homosexual man, so the appearance of my penis is very important to me and my self-esteem and my community.
As a whole.
Wow. All of my community.
You go through that community.
The not being able to have sex thing for a while because of physical pain is interesting. Yep. Like, we've done it because of you've got an STD, you can have sex.
Yeah.
But you can still have a wank when you've got an STD.
Oh, yeah.
I've dated 2 guys that have had non-retractable foreskins. Have you had a lot of
One guy I dated, yeah.
Yeah, well, sorry, I've slept with many, many guys with non-retractable foreskins, but I've been dating 2 guys while I've had the circumcision to get that rectified. And then you go on drugs. So as an adult.
Yeah.
So when you're a kid and you have a circumcision, I mean, first of all, I just think circumcisions are fucked.
Oh, absolutely.
In this day and age. I get in the olden days they did it. There was hygiene myths. There was religion stuff. In this day and age, chopping a little bit of your child's dick off, I don't care why you think it's a good idea. It's not a good idea anymore.
I always thought it was like a health thing, like just from
it's
the beginning.
It's not. But I think in the 1950s, it was when people showered like twice a week.
People in Australia were.
No.
No.
Yeah, I only recently found out. Like, so, someone told me no.
So, my mum's like a nurse and used to work in the maternity ward.
There you go.
And she was saying that basically about mid-1986, there was a huge conversations about it in a lot of the newspapers and on television and all that sort of this big topic on chat shows and stuff. And apparently, after pre-mid-1986, most people were getting circumcised.
Yeah.
Post that big conversation, most. So, anyone that's about in their early 30s.
Yeah.
And under is probably, in Australia, probably not circumcised. And above that, probably is circumcised.
Yeah.
But so when you're a kid and you get circumcised, you don't naturally have erections and there's not that much scar tissue because your penis is a lot smaller and that sort of stuff. As an adult, although obviously it's a very different thing. Oh yeah. It's a hugely different thing.
Yeah.
So I've been with two guys while they were having it done.
Like, I mean, not at the time.
It's like, but they put you on this. They put you on this medication to
sick.
They block like
to stop you getting hard, and it's for quite a long period of time because that's some sensitive tissue that you want to get, you know, solved properly. Ugh, because if you do get an erection, it literally rips open the scar tissue.
Because I remember like when my bandage strap was like cut. Because like,
did they put you on the drugs?
Well, no, because like mine wasn't bad enough.
Right,
they were just like, it'll heal by itself within a week. But then, like, every day you get an erection and it would just, like, it would be painful, but it wouldn't bleed again. But it was the worst 2 weeks of my life.
So, I was already on the medication, but that was for legal reasons. Proceeding.
Just to keep your uncle away.
No, they didn't give me any medication, but they did advise
to not avoid
getting aroused.
Well,
okay. And I said that's very difficult for someone who, you know.
So one of the guys that I was dating while he was recovering from this surgery was when I was living in London. It was at the end of my stay and I was about to move back to Australia. And we realized that I was going to have to move back before he was off the medication. Mm. So he was like, we need to have sex again before you go. I was like, we can't risk you getting
I don't want to kill you.
Yeah. I was like, we can't. And anyway, so we did. And so I was fucking him, and he's like, "Oh, that's so good."
You're like, "I know,
I'm gonna stop." He's like, "No, keep going. We've got to get this done." I'm like, "No, this is gonna tear your penis."
That's what you want to hear.
Yeah,
we've got to get this done.
Yeah,
we've got to get this done.
Instead of talking about my penis for 5 minutes,
thank God,
want to say that Kyle brought someone to Pop Chops.
He did. He's been picking him up every week after our little recordings. Kyle's got a boyfriend.
Okay. It's true. The word is out. It's on Facebook.
We'd mention
you just become Facebook official.
Yeah, at like 3 a.m. on a Saturday.
Yeah, I noticed.
Oh, that was some good pills.
You know, you're just like sharing and you're like, so I've noticed your Facebook says single, mine does not. One thing led to another, and then I woke up the next day and I was like, oh shit,
why at 4 a.m.
like, because that's when I was like drunkest.
Oh, okay.
But is that important to you or is that important to him? I have never been
This is the first time I've ever been in a relationship on Facebook and it said the other person's name. Like in previous relationships, it's been in a relationship, but that could be like, it's not like specifically saying this person is a homosexual.
Yeah.
I think it was quite a big thing for him, maybe, because I think a lot of his family, he's kind of recently out, like in the past couple years. So
he's also,
I think, a lot of people
Australia.
Found out through that way, but he was really for it, and that was really great. And really
nice.
Well, I mean, we were for a lot of things then, but and then
you're actually talking to someone else completely different.
I'm in a relationship with someone else. Damn it.
No, that's exciting. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Well
yeah, but we
it's a funny step we have to take now, isn't it? Doing the Facebook official.
I mean,
thing.
Is it even? I was trying to see people I knew. I went through Facebooks and I was like, people who I knew in relationships, I'm like, are they Facebook official? Do I need to be? But woke up the next day and I was just like, I'm so hungover. Check my phone. It's like a bajillion notifications.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, Jesus. But it was actually really nice. Like, it got like a lot of, I don't know, positive stuff. So like that made me feel good. Though.
Yeah.
But it was kind of coming out to that weird little percentage of people on my Facebook that like old family friends and people back in South Africa and like old work colleagues and like who didn't necessarily 100% know or something. So,
yeah.
I'm not sure if I would have done it when I was sober, like if I would have got the kind of courage to. I'm happy it's done now.
You're also on a show called The Gays.
I know. I'm here to
just
like,
to point that
this
out.
Is growth.
If they didn't know then,
this is growth. Definitely. And I'm not talking about the thing on Tom's face. I'm sorry, Tom. Come back. I was just trying to take it off me for a bit.
This bitch is coming for you.
Oh, yes. Okay, you want to come for me, people?
I give your relationship 2 weeks.
With this new relationship that's happening, what's your view on monogamy? Like, is that a thing?
Is that a chat you've had?
Yeah.
I think it's just something that we both realize and is implied. I don't think it's something that, I mean, help me God. I will hunt down and kill with a crossbow. No, I think we are both definitely on the same page. Okay. I don't think I could ever open a relationship. I would never be comfortable with that. I know.
Never say never.
Gay, yeah. I know for gay. sorry, that was over my head. People in gay relationships, and like it's this really common thing that they open relationships and like grinder status things and being open and all that. So I just don't see how that could ever work. Like, I don't know. Like, that's just my point of view.
Yeah. But
like,
for you, you mean you don't think
if like if I wanted to disappoint more than one person, I would have my parents.
Yeah.
Have
you boys done open relationships?
I've not. Mm.
Yeah, oh, you have?
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
I'm not like judging. I'm just really curious.
I, just don't,
like,
I don't think
it's just
I don't
understand because in my mind, I'm like, Luke could get anyone else.
This would never work.
I take what I can get.
Yeah.
I've not been in a relationship long enough.
Oh my god, you're so beautiful.
That's really like long relationships, and then people decide to open.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Luke, tell us about your
open relationship.
This was a really unique one in that I was in an open relationship with a bisexual man.
Wow, that's complicated.
And the terms were that he would open it up to sleep with women on a purely physical basis, but then would have an emotional relationship purely with me.
Yeah, right.
And I could then also sleep with other men because I was not a bisexual. Still not, actually.
wow.
But could not have emotional relationships with them. But eventually it turns out that I have no emotions, full stop.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize after a while that we were still in an open relationship. I think about 6 months passed.
Yeah.
Okay.
How long had it been into the relationship? Was it from the beginning that it was open? Or like, were you seeing this person for a while and then he decided he wanted girls again?
No, it was from day one. It was like, if we want to keep doing this, this is how it's going to be. Okay. And I said, weird. I don't really mind because I generally forget things the moment I leave a room.
Mm.
So I think I'm all good with this.
I feel like that's so hard to get my head around because like doing it from the get-go, you haven't even formed like a relationship with that person to be like solid with them before you can.
It's an adventure. Yeah. It's about saying, this is something I haven't done before.
Yeah.
So I don't know how I feel about it, but I'm going to give it a red hot go because I've been wrong about so much shit before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
And, why not?
Why not? When you've failed this many times.
Like, were you open? Like, would he tell you when he was with other people? Like, or was it just kind of like a thing that you both knew, like that he was seeing people?
So,
like, was it like very open or kind of?
Yeah. So the other part was if we slept with someone else, we would tell each other.
And how, like, which, did you feel shit? Like, or were you okay with that?
Well, I forgot. And I kept forgetting. And then the few times that it did happen, I'd get a phone call or a message.
Yeah.
I don't want to use the phrase again, but I'm a Nancy Drew. I know if you're sleeping with someone before you slept.
Yeah.
I got social media. Yeah. I know
it's
how
it's so easy.
Works.
It's like modern day to like stalk a bunch of people. Yeah.
It's tricky when it goes into the man woman heteronormative.
That would be so complicated because it's
area.
Opening up like anybody's a threat.
That's it.
But generally, I wasn't fazed by it, but I have.
Wait, did you already say how long you were with this person for?
Yeah, about 6 months.
Okay.
Yeah. 6 months before I, you know, did something to ruin it. this is a good.
Okay, next
that's
topic.
A good run for you.
What did you do?
I was looking for a compliment then. That was 6 months.
No, I'm sorry. I'm very impressed that someone put up with you for 6 months. It's interesting. I did one of my longest relationships was an open relationship, but with certain rules, as often they do. So he traveled a lot for work. And if he was going to be interstate or overseas for a long period of time, then it was allowed to be open.
Yeah.
Which at first was great because I fucking love fucking.
Yeah.
And I love fucking new people and I just love fucking as much as possible and as many people as possible. Mm. But also I want to be in a loving monogamous relationship as well. At first, it was amazing because when we were together, we were fucking each other like crazy, and it was amazing and it was awesome. He'd go away for work, I'd fuck other guys, he'd fuck other guys, and it was great. And then we'd get back and we'd fuck again. But our rule was that it was like the guys that you fuck when the other person's away aren't ongoing kind of guys.
There's
no date. Yeah, there's no dates. There's no chatting up or planning it. Yeah. It's like if you go out and you meet someone, or someone on Grindr, or you're at a sauna, whatever, that's fine.
If you're just casually at a sauna.
No, you're like, you can plan to have sex, but it's not like me picking a specific guy and being like, hey, let's go for dinner, you know, because that sort of goes into the dating territory.
Yeah.
And it after a while got into that sort of area, and that's why I am a crazy person and ruined everything because I found his social media.
At any point in time, either you or the partner, were like any of the rules broken at all?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, from his part. Which, but also, like, I probably should have been more like, I was starting to realize that I wasn't cool. Like, you know, he'd go back to the same city, and I knew that he was fucking the same guy when he'd go back there. I should have been more open about how much that upset me, and it did make me a fucking crazy person. And by the end of that relationship, like, he broke up with me, and in retrospect was totally right to do so, because I was a fucking crazy person by the end of it. But it was because, like, you know, he'd be openly talking about like how he was going
to
see the same guy again, and I was like, well, hang on, this isn't
about
what,
that's so uncomfortable.
And I was like, well, hang on, I need to show me photos and videos and stuff, and I was like, well, hang on, this isn't what we sort of agreed on, like it was supposed to just sort of be purely physical, like, and that's what I'm doing, like, I'm not, and I love you and I want to just have sex with you. So I think now, if I hopefully win, it's been so long since I've been in a relationship. But what I would like in a relationship, because, you know, some people open from the start, never open, that's fine. For me, it would be like, I want to be with someone that is so awesome and passionate at the start that we don't need anyone else to fuck.
Yeah.
Over time, everything gets boring. We can fuck other people, but it's definitely got to be like a strict, like, no dates, unless it's with both of us and the other person.
Yeah.
Which is kind of hot. If you if a couple has like a regular fuck buddy, that is kind of hot. Some friends of mine are a couple, and they go on these dates with a third guy.
Go to dinner or like...
Yeah, yeah, like full on dates like and stuff. Date. And they like fuck the guy in the toilets at the restaurant. Like, it's really fucking hot. Like, do that. I'm totally up for that. But yeah, just sort of like make sure you're loving the person that you're with and like not hurting the person you're with. That's the most important thing, I think.
Like, I've not been in an open relationship myself, but I've been sleeping with someone who was.
Oh.
And it wasn't until probably 6 months in that I was just like, hang on a second. We're actually going on dates. Because I just didn't see it as a thing. I was just like, oh, we're just going to dinner and then we're going to go do our thing and that's fine.
Wait a minute.
There were a few conversations that we had and it was just like, oh, hang on a second. This person's starting to get feelings for me. And like, I've sort of come into this being like, there's going to be no strings. Like, this is great for me. Like, I can have a consistent thing and I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
And he, one of the last times we properly like hooked up, he was just like, oh, so I've broken up with my partner. And I was just like, oh, okay.
You're the Leonardo DiCaprio in Titanic.
I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then he was like, look, I have feelings for you. And I was just like, oh, like, I'm sorry, but I don't reciprocate those feelings, unfortunately. Like, I really like our friendship and I really enjoy what we have, but unfortunately, I don't want it to go any further. And that was the end of that. Like, it just, me being self-loathing within that time period was just like,
you revisited.
I revisited a few times and I feel so horrible about it now because every time I did, I knew every time that I
feel like everyone's had that kind of situation and it's just
being
like,
the other person.
Yeah. Like I knew
like, but being both sides of that situation, I feel like taking like something because you know you can get
so,
it.
So in your relationship for you, Kyle, Facebook official, if your boyfriend said tomorrow, so we're open,
I would.
Oh.
I would.
Just like casually.
Not an option.
I would like blue screen. Like,
Thank you so much for listening to The Gays Are Revolting, a weekly news source for contemporary gays.
Enough roasting, Kyle. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. You can subscribe to The Gays Are Revolting on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. And don't forget to please rate and review.
And I expect everybody to give us social media love. Probably not Luke because he's blocked me. But everybody else by following @GaysRevolting on Instagram, Twitter, and of course, Facebook. Facebook.
And now, guys, don't forget to join the Gays Are Revolting Facebook group to keep up with all the tea.
Oh, bye, everyone.
Is it over? Bye.
Too soon. Making.
See you
next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.